Welcome to Conversations with the Card Reader, the official podcast for the House of Divina. I'm so glad you're here. Grab your favorite beverage and take a seat. Let me talk with you for a while.
Hi, you guys. Before we get started in today's conversation, I just want to remind you that my new book, Soul Tutor, is available on my website and on Amazon. So if you're ready to learn about astrology and tarot, or to improve your relationships with yourself and others, or you enjoy fiction, such as imagining yourself and others as intergalactic beings on a mission to Earth, then this is going to be a great book for you. Also, if you know somebody who is grieving the loss of a loved one, or you yourself are in that position, this is going to be a great tool for you to turn the table on your tears of grief. The book and the journal are, again, available on my website, thehouseofdivina.com. Now let's get started. So today I want to talk to you about some of the things that no one ever tells you about this concept of a spiritual journey. I'm going to give us about 12 or 13 different things that I want to cover. The first thing is that nobody ever tells you about this spiritual journey is that you are uniquely and wonderfully made already. A lot of times I see people trying to piggyback off of someone else or trying to be a mini so-and-so or replica of by simply following the patterns, behaviors, ideologies of another person. You need to know that first and foremost, there is nothing wrong with you. You are already uniquely and wonderfully made. And so you have come to this space of remembering or understanding because of what's going on in your own soul's mission or pattern. So, which brings me to step number two. The reason that you are on what you have dubbed a spiritual journey is because we all have this thing called a soul. The soul is that fire spark that gives your physical body warmth, but also that is a spark of God. It is that thing that partners with us to help our mind, body, and spirit reconnect to the mission at hand. And so if you are at this place in life where you are acknowledging it as a spiritual journey, it is because your soul is pushing that human side of you to wake up and remember. The third thing is we are both human and a spark of God. I mentioned that just before in the previous point, but we are two separate emanations in one being. And both of those emanations have work to do. So the soul, that warm spark of God that gives this physical body heat and which is our God self, our God knowing, has animated the avatar of the body, which in and of itself contains the mind, which is our brain, and the spirit, which is that thing within us that gives us the will, energy, and drive to do in this manifested reality. For more detail about that, just get my book called Soul Tutor, which is available on my website and through any of my social media platforms. Just click on the link tree on any of those platforms in order to go straight there. And then the body, the mind, and the spirit is what makes up the human avatar. And that body has work to do. And the soul also has work to do. When you blend that together, then that is called the human experience. It is called living. It is called life. Which brings me to point number four, that people don't tell you about as it relates to the spiritual journey. Life is not against you, but it is an experience where you have here in this manifested reality on the tree of life in the sphere of Malkuth on the in the fourth world of Asaya, where we are learning the value of this thing called humaning life. But you're doing that while you're living it. I want you to think of it as the school of immersion. If you've ever learned a language through an immersion program, you just jump in there and do, and through that experience, you're learning. And so it is with this experience that we call life. As a human being, we are learning while living. And the experience of life in the human self is in of itself a gift. What ultimately are you going to do with this gift of life, where your soul has been given an opportunity to manifest in this reality, in this world of Asaya, in the sphere of Malkuth? What are you going to do with that? And so that is what living is about. And so people really don't tell you that. Sometimes when they're talking about spiritual journey, they want to somehow move you from this physical experience of living so that you are somehow reaching for something outside of self, without understanding that the thing that you're reaching for outside of self is already within you. And the business of this living is in experiencing and remembering and reconnecting. And you're trying to do that in this avatar, through this avatar, to see what that's about. Another point that people don't talk about as it relates to this spiritual journey is that you're already exactly where you need to be. Some of my clients come in and the question that a lot of people ask me is, am I on the right path? What should I be doing? Is this the right thing for me to do for my soul? You know, what's my purpose? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? And the truth of the matter is, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. The fact that you're asking these questions means that your soul has shaken your mind and your body to the point where you are in that waking up state. You are awakening. So I always tell people it's first natural, then spiritual. This would be, for example, you know how when you're sleeping, you've had a really deep sleep, and you are waking up in the morning because you know you've got someplace to be, and you've got that little grogginess before you actually get up. When you start asking these questions like, what's my purpose? How do I know I'm on the right path? Why am I here? What's going on in this life? That's how you know that your soul has shook your body to the place where it is starting to awaken and become aware. And so you're already exactly where you need to be in order to start applying what the lessons that the physical body have already started to go through. You've already been in class. You just didn't know what you were in class for. It's kind of like taking general education courses in college before you start your major courses. And so all the people that you've met, all the experiences that you've had, all the opportunities that you've been a part of, even those perceived losses, failures, heartaches, challenges, as well as all of the wins, all of the victories, all of the celebrations, all of that has been part of what I would suggest is like your general education courses. It is, you know, preschool through the first 2 years of college. That is what this is all about, all of it. And it's really what you need to give your life perspective. It's a starting place to give learning or remembering a place of meaning. It's where you begin to transform all of that knowledge into wisdom. The other point that I want to talk about, what is this, like point number 7 right now? You can, should, and will go this journey alone in part, right? There is an old saying that you came into this world alone and you'll go out of it alone as well. So your experience, your mission, what your soul came here to learn and do was specifically for your soul. You have lessons to learn. You have experiences to remember your power from a God level, to bring that into the manifested reality, to be able to explore and apply that here in order to understand better how those principles work in this existence. So yes, there is part of this experience where you will go it alone, where you will need to research and learn and experience things on your own. Your experience is going to be drastically different from other people. Okay, so the other thing that I want to talk about is community. I know I said that you are going to go this experience alone, but there is and will be a place for you working with other people where you will need someone else to help you understand the context of some of what you've learned and experienced. In those instances, you will want to utilize the wisdom gained from previous experience when you worked as a solo practitioner to be able to work with someone who can help you to understand things further. Point number 9, just like there will be a time for you to work independently and a time for you to sit with and learn from somebody else, there will also be a time where you will be the one providing the guidance. This does not mean having a specific title or a degree or something where you are now lord over somebody. This particular step is where a lot of people get it mixed up, where you have abuses from spiritual leaders, and that is not what I'm talking about here. There will be a time where something that you have learned will come into an opportunity to help another person, just like you needing the support of somebody else to help guide you along your journey. And as with the time where you will need to learn from somebody else, your time where you will teach or help or guide somebody else will be limited. Understand that everything that we do, it's all about seasons. Nothing that you're going to be doing is going to be for the entire lifetime or journey of your experience or theirs. So don't hold too tightly to anything like that. Titles, learning, or anything, or even studenthood, you know. You see that a lot in what I call the metaphysical or the magical community. So release that idea that you're going to be the lord over somebody, or the pastor, the preacher, the guru. Let that go. Because that's not what this is about. This is about your soul's journey. And we are all here to help and learn from one another. Again, I have this book called Soul Tutor that speaks to that point. And I highly encourage you to get that, especially as you are on your own journey. There's a journal that goes along with that. And together they are a powerhouse that will help you move forward. Another thing that I want to talk to you guys about, and I know I just mentioned my book, so I will speak to that now, is this concept of stuff, of consumerism, of getting stuff. It's not necessary. A lot of it is not necessary, especially so early on. To the aspect of stuff, I guess the main thing I want you to know is that purchasing stuff does not equal being proficient in the work. You can have all sorts of candles, incense, statues, oils, herbs, spices, cloths, whatever. You can have all sorts of stuff, but that stuff is a tool. It's just a tool. And so I don't want you to get caught up in stuff. People are not going to tell you that because sometimes there's something in it for them. Now, as I say that, anybody who's ever created anything, any expert, anybody, you know, anyone will tell you that you do need things because you need to experiment. So in that vein, I completely understand why you would want to get stuff, but don't think that you absolutely have to have stuff. Do not put yourself in debt getting stuff. God is in all stuff. So a lot of the stuff that you would be buying is probably already in your house. I can tell you that there is no such thing as spiritual sage or any other ingredient, right? The sage that you can get from your local grocery store or your yard is the same sage that somebody else is probably packaging and sending to you with a cute logo. So don't feel like you need to buy, you know, $100 sage when you can get it for $3.99 at the grocery store. It's marketing stuff, and it's just the same thing. What is the difference? Is what you do with it. And so that's just part of the experience, part of the journey. The other thing that I want to talk to you guys about is the learning. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to learn, read, or try anything. There are a lot of buzzwords that people have infused into our experiences that push people away from learning, to even just learn. I'm not saying to dabble, but just to learn. So the mention of demons, and the devil, ghosts, hexes, curses. You start mentioning that stuff, people get freaked out, and then they shy away. And their fear is rooted in ignorance. So I'm not saying that you need to go conjure a demon or sell your soul to the devil. Okay, you guys, I'm sorry. I giggled just a little bit. And to make sure that you understand, I was thinking about some of the things that I have been told. But to be very clear, I do not take demonology or the fact of the Goetia lightly at all. I do understand that evil exists. I understand that the Goetia exists and that there are legions of demons who act in accordance. And I also understand that there are people here on this earth, in this plane, who commit evil acts, and they know just enough to be dangerous. So they are making arrangements, agreements with these beings of a different realm who give them what they want. But then ultimately there is what we call a price to pay. And that price is paid sometimes here on earth. Other times, though, it can be on earth and in the place that we know to be hell. However, in my understanding of the three-part or four-part being, the soul goes back to source, while an emanation of the physical body, the mind, and the spirit remain in hell to pay out that debt, okay? My laughter came from the thought that people blame a lot of stuff on the devil, a lot of stuff on demons, when the truth is people do a lot of stuff on their own.
Okay, people, let's just talk about the devil. Poor little devil. Y'all blame all sorts of stuff on Satan. He ain't done more than half the stuff y'all talking about. A lot of the stuff is rooted in you just being human and not understanding that your mind and your spirit are separate from your soul. And some of y'all, your soul is all of us. Our soul is just fine. It is that spirit and that mind that gets us in trouble. That human part of you is causing you to choose to do evil, to do wrong, to harm other people. Your soul is giving you life so that the avatar can exist. But that mind, that spirit, some of y'all spirits ain't right. And that is a whole nother thing. So some of y'all are allowing other spirits to influence your spirit to do things you have no business doing. So remember the pagan creed, harm not. Okay, so there's that. So don't be afraid. Primary thing, don't be afraid. There is no need to be afraid of learning. Now, caution should be entered into when you start to engage in practice. Remember that we are here in the sphere of Malkuth, in the world of Isaiah. There are three other worlds of existence on this particular tree. And you will want to be mindful of your engagement, but that mindfulness only comes from knowledge. So since I say I want you to not be afraid of anything, I want you to make an effort to read, to study any and everything you get your hands on, starting with the ancient texts. I say the ancient texts because the marketeering and the politics ego of man has entered everything, starting with the Bible, and everything after that has been tainted. Now, I will say this about the Bible, and I've said this before, so this is no secret. The Bible is a great training wheel. It is an introduction of truths, collection of truths, but those truths are hidden in many ways, which brings me to my next point. Please reserve judgment about the stuff that you have read, have heard, have seen. Modern day conversations will have you believe that fairy tales and myths are just made up things, while science is what's true. When the truth is that science is always trying to catch up with what our ancients have always known. And these fairy tales tend to be allegories that preserved truth and history while also preserving lives, because certain truths were hidden under the threat of death, right? You tell that truth that people know this, and then we're going to kill you for doing that. We will imprison you for doing that. We will cast you out of the community for doing that. So these myths, these hidden truths that are masked as
heretic by those in political or religious positions of power as falsehoods meant to disempower. And you will understand a lot of this as you do your research and reserve judgment. I know that I entered into the Christian church experience around age 18 and exited out of it in my 30s. And my research allowed me to understand that Christianity was just training wheels, and there are a lot of hidden information within that. When you do the research and you understand what's going on, you'll find that we are all connected, and that if you follow it back or not, you will either find the truth or expose the lie. So do your research.
So we have a few more that I want to talk to you about. Another point that people normally do not disclose to us when we are on this spiritual journey is that God is not in hiding. Your spirit's not seeking God so much as it is seeking to recognize God in all that it sees in this manifested reality, and then remembering and rebalancing that with the human experience through the lens of humaning. Another thing is that divination abilities and tools are just a conversation, a way to engage the divine. It's a language, and whether you're using tarot, oracle cards, candles to read the flames, or incense in order to read the smoke, or you're scrying through water, glass, or stones, or you're reading the energy of stones, or you're looking at clouds, all of that divination, understanding what we do not see in the manifested reality, but having a conversation with source or a manifestation of source, such as our angel spirit guides and or our ancestors, that is what those tools are for. They are not meant to help us escape necessarily everything that goes on with our human experience. Instead, again, it is a tool to help us with this manifested reality. Think of it as superpowers, which is really what they are. So let's say that you're psychic, you can see the future. You may not be able to change that future, but what you can do is you see that it's coming, and you can take precautions to kind of temper the storm, whether that be to emotionally and mentally prepare yourself for what's coming, or financially, or whatever, if you are able to see it soon enough. And then there's the issue of purpose. And I say this because the goal of the spiritual journey is not to become so heavenly connected that we become obsolete in this manifested reality. We do not want to become so heavenly good that we're no earthly good. It's not escapism. The spiritual journey is not escapism. Remember, the point of the soul being manifested in the avatar of the human body is to experience this existence in the sphere of Malkuth in the world of Asaya as we begin the ascension up the ladder of the tree of life back to source. We are not supposed to be trying to escape it. We're supposed to be living through it. It's kind of like applying to go to college, and you go to college and then you're trying to skip every class. What's the whole point of that? You won't pass, you won't get your degree, you won't get the education that you came to the school to get, and it will have been a wasted experience.
And then one last thing that I want to tell you guys, this journey, that the spiritual journey thing, that people, the one thing that people won't really ever tell you is that you need to be prepared that the you that you are right now will not remain. Be prepared for change. Because with revelation, with the revelation of truths, there comes change, you know, if you allow it, right? If your spirit and your mind will allow it, you will not be able to operate in cognitive dissonance moving forward. But ultimately, that's really what you guys want, right? Because you enter into this spiritual journey and you may want to partake in divination, magic spells, and all sorts of other things. And you're doing it because you're looking for a change. Most people start expecting an external change, But what people don't may not tell you about the spiritual journey is that that change starts inwardly first. And once you know, once you have the wisdom about an experience, then you can never go back, right? Once you are birthed as an adult now, you can never go back into your mother's womb. It just doesn't work that way. You know too much, you've done too much, you've grown, both physically, mentally, spiritually, and your soul has done its work to remind you of who you are, what you know, who God is, and the specialness, the spark inside of others. That is, of course, if you do not allow your spirit to dabble with other spirits that are not for this life. Okay? Thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it, you guys. Make sure that you are subscribing to this podcast and following and connecting with me on socials. And until next time, I will see you later.
Thank you so much for coming over to my house. If you enjoyed this episode of Conversations with the Card Reader, please subscribe and download the podcast so you're notified when the next episode airs. You can find me on all social media as the House of Divina. Oh, and next time, bring a friend who needs a friend.